On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Hey, how are you? I'm Ron Van Dam, and I am an example as to why there should not be cloning. Not that I have been cloned, but you wouldn't want to clone me. You wouldn't want two of me. That would be dangerous and stupid. I don't want to clone you either. I can hardly take you as one person. I can't imagine if there were two of you, I'd be surrounded by you, and that wouldn't be fun. So cloning, no. If you want to clone a sheep, which I think they did, go ahead, clone all the sheep you want. I don't care about that. But don't clone people. That's not, you know, every once in a while, you know, someone will have a little baby. That happens every once in a while. When you go over to their house and they show you the little baby for the first time, they hold it up like it's a prize watermelon that they won at the state fair. And you're supposed to say, oh, that baby looks just like you, which you do say, but you say to yourself, oh, my God, I hope that's not going to happen. It's just, you know, hey, you know, did you meet Joe? He's just like me. Oh, no, seriously? I can't even take you, much less somebody that's like you? Oh, don't use that as an example. That's not good. Stop saying that.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
This is going to be fun.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I got a great show planned for you. Unfortunately, it's not this one. No, it is this one. I'm only kidding. You're going to love this. I'm serious. I've got a great guest coming up a little bit later in the program. Yeah, we're going to hook up with England and talk to our guest. He's an author, and he's over there in the United Kingdom across the pond. It's a big pond. Across the pond. I love that phrase. It's a big freaking ocean where you can die if you fall off the boat. But yes, I'm just across the pond. That's so cute, it's annoying. I'm scared of water. Yeah, I don't like to go underwater because there's a possibility I may not come back up. They've got a term for that. It's called drowning. And not one of my favorite ways to go necessarily. So kind of don't like the big water thing. I'm not into that. I know some people that like to do the scuba diving. I don't know what scuba stands for. Self-contained underwater brooms apparatus. I don't know. Breathing apparatus, I think. I'm not sure. But in any event, if I need something to help me breathe, and if I don't have that certain thing to help me breathe and I die, then it's probably not the sport I want to get into. It's like jumping out of planes. I know one guy who loves to jump out of planes. And with a parachute. Oh, let me say that. With a parachute. He says it feels like flying. And No, it doesn't. It feels like you're about to be dying. That's pretty much what that is. I would always be scared that if I jumped out of a plane, I'd have a heart attack and I wouldn't pull the ripcord and I'd smash into the ground into 1,000 different pieces. So don't do that either. Also, I don't think you smash into 1,000 different pieces. I think it's just one large blob of crap. That's not, not going to do that. I have no bucket list. I don't even know what that means. I think it's the things that you want to do before you die, and all of them involve possibly dying. So I don't quite get that. My bucket list is all the things that don't bring that possibility to the surface at all. It's called my fuck it list. Do you want to do that stuff? No, fuck it. That's my list, man. No. Nope. I just like to walk upright across the ground. And even that these days is a chore. So let's not push this thing. Well, hello, by the way. I am Ron Van Dam. This is the Ron Van Dam Show. We can be heard on a lot of different platforms. I know what that means. And hey, congratulate me. Let's hear some applause. Congratulate me. I have not been on Facebook now for 23 years. Huh? I'm serious. Yeah. Thank you. Maybe that's an exaggeration. Let's have been on Facebook for 11 months. 11 months. Thank you. Longer than a full-term baby. Thank you. I have not. No, I haven't. No, I haven't. Thank you. No, I haven't. I said recently it was my birthday, and I was tempted to go onto Facebook and look at all the thousands of congratulatory comments toward me, like, oh, happy birthday. All those deep heartfelt wishes of a joyous situation. But I did brush by one of my Facebook pages. I have so many of them, but I don't tend to them. It's like having a garden and all the plants are dying, but they don't seem to go away. All the plants are dead, but they're just kind of sitting there wilted on the ground. That's Facebook to me. And I feel so good, man. I am so cleansed. I am not shackled by that stupid social media created psychopathic entity. I'm not involved in it, man. I don't get into it. Don't get into it. Have I sent pictures of food? Yes, I have. On my cell phone, I've sent pictures of food because I like to cook, and sometimes I just get, I consider to be some of the dishes to be works of art, so I take pictures of them. And I do send them to people that seem to be interested in that. Would I send a picture of food to somebody that didn't really particularly care? No. Have I ever sent a picture of any of my private parts to anybody? Are you serious? I don't even know where they are. I know they're down below my belt line, but I haven't seen them lately. No, I haven't. I never have. I never would. Oh my God. You serious? That is the ultimate. I do know people that do that. They haven't been sent to me. Maybe I'm a little angry about that. No, that's the last thing I want to look at. Oh my goodness. No. When I have sex, I turn off the lights. I mean, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I'm only kidding. Ron's getting into territory that perhaps he shouldn't be discussing on the air. And I say that in a third person. We're talking about relationships today, as if you really are capable of having one. I know most of us are not. We use relationships as sounding boards and things to dump on. That's what yes, it's true. Most of us use relationships or are used in a relationship where we are nothing, but you just sit there, shut up, and listen to me talk. Listen to all of my problems and all of my strange, weird things, and don't say anything. Sound familiar? Yeah, this radio show. Thank you. Every radio show. Thank you. Yeah, that's what we do. See, but we're professionals. You're not. You're not a professional. You couldn't do this. I guarantee you. You want to try it? Can't do it. I know you can't. I've been complaining about things for decades and decades. I'm a master at it. You, when you complain about stuff, not so interesting. No. You think this is uninteresting? You think this is annoying? Try listening to yourself for like a half an hour every day with no feedback. It's not fun. Anyway, let's get off that subject. Relationships, man, they're just they're difficult, and it's all because of Trump. I know what you're going to say. Don't even say it. I know what you're going to say, Ron. You blaming everything on Trump? Well, the answer is yes. Yes, I am, because it's putting everybody in a bad mood. Even people that support Trump know somewhere in the back of their ass that that is not a good thing. They know that. And we're in the middle of the impeachment hearings, or possibly toward the end, and every Republican knows that Trump did this not good. It wasn't a perfect phone call. It was a mess. It was something he shouldn't have done. Most Republicans admit that, but yet they do nothing about it. They try to defend him, and I don't understand why. I don't get it. If you impeach Donald Trump, if you even remove him from office through a Senate vote, then Vice President Pence becomes the president. You've still got a Republican. You could even win the next election hands down, because now you can be Republican again without the embarrassment and the stupidity. Every senator, every Republican in Congress knows that Trump is nothing but trouble. Just get him out of there. Do us all a favor, doctor. Perform the surgery. I mean, I don't like Pence either, but it's better than that. Anything's better than that. So make Pence the president, you know, at least for another year. And then maybe you got a shot at this again. But look, 65% of those polled in this country, and I can't, you know, I'm not scientific poll guy, but the polls say over 50% think Donald Trump should go through the impeachment hearings, that he did something wrong. 65%. I'm sorry, 65% think that. Just over 50% think that Trump should be actually removed from office. Removed. Out of here. You can't have numbers like that and win an election. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? You're not going to sway the independents in the middle to go to Trump land if the guy's been impeached. Do you understand that? End your misery now. Get Trump out of office. You know you want him out. Pence will continue the policy thing. What's your problem? What is it? What is it about Trump's ass that you find so engaging? I'm just saying, you know, look, I'm a lonely talk show host. I sit here all day eating fruit, and I'm lonely. So don't listen to me. But I am up on this stuff. I read the Mueller report. I did. I read the transcripts. I did. That's more than Lindsey Graham did. I read all that stuff. I'm up on the news every day. You're not. I am. And I'm telling you, this is crazy. The guy has got to be removed. You have no idea. If you don't pay attention, you have no idea. I mean, let Pence do what is to be done, and I don't know what your problem would be. You might even strengthen your party. The party of the largest deficit ever. The party of wild spending. The party of lies. I mean, don't you want to reverse that? Don't you want to go back to where you were? The party that respects the country, the Constitution, those that fight in wars for us, in the military. Don't you want to be the party that respects that again? Because now you're not. So I don't know what it is about Trump's ass that you find so tasty. I don't know. I don't get it. All right. Our guest is following very, very closely here, because we are going to talk about relationships. And believe me, it's an important thing. Apparently, I don't subscribe to this, but apparently we all need relationships. I don't really think so. I think the more relationships you have, the more trouble you're going to get into. I mean, we are creatures on this planet, and we tend to assimilate with others. I get that, but as I'm going to bring up with our guest, I mean, this is like Facebook. I mean, with this friends thing, I mean, it's just out of control. We don't even know what friends means anymore. I think that the term friend means abuse another human being until they can't take it no more. I think that's what friendship is now. I think we've lost the entire meaning. Look, if your friend came to you and said, I'm moving on Saturday, can you help me move? If you say no or have to come up with some ridiculous explanation, then you're not friends. And I'll raise my hand. I have no friends. I ain't helping anybody move. Can you drive me to the airport at 3 o'clock in the morning? I can't. I've got a shower. I've got a shower there. At 3 in the morning? I can't. I'm sorry, I can't. You know, this could mean the end of our friendship. Hopefully it will. Yeah, hopefully. Now, I'm not willing to go that far for anybody, and I know you're not either. I know you say you would, but if the question was actually posed to you, you're not helping any friend move. And if you have helped a friend move, congratulations. I'll applaud you. I'll use that same applause track that I did when I said I didn't go to Facebook anymore. I'll play it for you. I'll give you the applause. Congratulations if you do that. You helped a friend move? Wow. Congratulations. You're a good friend. You are great. Yes, you're a great friend. Yes, give yourself an applause. Go on. Give it up for yourself. You're wonderful. Yeah, you're wonderful. You're great. You're just wonderful. All right. We're going to take a break here because I've got to gather my thoughts. This is ridiculous. My nipples hurt.
Here on the Ron Van Dam Show, our policy is anything goes.
Do not twist my nipples.
Okay, almost anything goes. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Podcast.
Hello, Doctor.
Hi, Ron. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Dr. Winfried Sedov joins us now, and we're talking about his book, The Friendship Key to Lasting Peace, United Communities, Stronger Relationships, Equality, and Better Jobs. You got it all in the title there.
Yeah, it's a mouthful, isn't it?
It says what it is, that's for darn sure. Well, you know,
absolutely.
Yeah, many of us these days, both in the UK and the United States, have trouble making friends and having lasting relationships. And it also, which your book also goes into, it's not only how to make them, it's how to keep them. And these days, keeping those relationships has become a little tough for all ends of the spectrum. Do you think that's the case?
Oh, look, completely. We're living in a very disconnected world.
Very.
It's like we have our priorities sort of slightly skewed, I'd have to say.
Yeah.
And we certainly don't put friendship up there as number one. I mean, how many of us actually spend most of our time trying to get ahead and spend long hours of work even when we don't need to, and yet then we disregard making those connections and then spending the time trying to keep them? And to me, friendship isn't like a diploma. You can't just pin it on the wall and say, look, I got one. Okay, it's all done. This is something we actually have to maintain and work with, something like a tree. You've got to grow it, give it some sunlight, give it some attention, give it some water and some love. Otherwise, it just tends to fall apart.
It's interesting that the term friendship, because with this Facebook and other stuff, the term friend has become annihilated, really. The word friend is pretty much just saying it's somebody that I know who also knows me. Which we tend to call acquaintance, actually. But it's...
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's actually quite a toxic word in a way because it actually degrades what friendship really
Correct.
Is. Because those sort of casual connections don't meet the real needs that we have as human beings for the close, personal, one-to-one connection that we're made for. So we end up feeling dissatisfied. And look, there's been studies done on this now that are basically telling us, look, we can use social media to connect with each other so we can meet personally, and that can work okay.
Right.
But social media is never a substitute. In fact, there's a gentleman out of Chicago University who did a study on this and was saying, look, there's no substitute for the real thing. And the real thing, of course, is us being with real people, connecting, yes. talking, and having proper conversations and knowing that the other person really cares. And we can see that often in their body language and how they react to us.
Yeah.
And these are things we miss when we're trying to connect on social media.
It's interesting, Wifi, because friends are something that you choose. It's totally your choice. You've connected to this other human being because you wanted to. And those relationships have to be nurtured, but you chose that relationship for a reason, so you should always know that. Then there's relatives. You don't choose them.
Oh, yeah.
They are thrusted upon you.
Yeah.
Bosses and supervisors, they're thrusted upon you.
Yeah.
Yet those are also important relationships. So I guess that skill kind of goes all over the place.
Exactly, and that's kind of why I wrote The Friendship Key in the first place, because if we can break down friendship into its components and work out what it is each of us needs in friendships, like respect and being valued and noticed and heard. Heard is a very important one. These are things we can apply to everyone, including our family, at work. It can make a big difference at work with our colleagues, reducing bullying. Yeah. It even makes us more able to sell products, which is an interesting side effect, because we're more likely to buy from friends than we are from people we consider to be enemies. So, yeah, look, it's one of those dilemmas of having a family, isn't it? You can't choose your relatives.
No.
But what we can do is choose how we build the friendship with them, whether we focus on similarity, whether we respect them, whether we listen to them, okay, how much time and effort we put in, and also whether we move away from each other. Okay, I mean, you know, in the United States, I've learned that the average family tends to move about 11 times in their lifetime.
Yeah.
So it's pretty hard to develop close families and communities if we keep moving away all the time.
You know, it's interesting what your book brings out very explicitly is that friendships, successful friendships involve conversation in the sense that, how are you? You answer it, then you say to the other person, how are you? What do you think about this? I'll tell you what I think about it. It goes back and forth. Those are the stimulating relationships. The ones that are one-sided where I'm talking at you and I'm not giving you much of a chance to talk about, to give your reaction, those friendships are kind of, they're kind of difficult. The successful ones are the ones of the back and forth, and as you just said, with respect and listening.
Completely. In fact, we've got great examples of that today, and that's trolling. Trolling in social media. People are simply, there's no dialogue. Friends have a conversation, and part of the conversation is to listen and empathize and try and understand where the other person is coming from.
Yes.
Rather than have a one-way conversation,
right,
which is dictating, this is what I think, this is what I feel, take it or leave it, I don't care.
Yes.
Because if we say we don't care, then we're not being friends. We're just saying, okay, I'm better than you, I know more than
correct.
You, therefore we're not equals. So, and how much of that is happening not only in multimedia and the social environment, but also in politics? When was the last time we heard politicians actually having a dialogue?
Never. Well, it's been a long time, let's say.
Let's just say, yes, it's a dying art by the sound of it, yeah.
but when they were able to communicate and have friendships, we were all more comfortable. Here in the States, many politicians, they vehemently disagreed with each other, but behind the scenes, they would go have lunch and dinner, and their families would get together, and they'd have a great old time. As much as they were diametrically opposed politically, that made me very comfortable, and to hear stories like that makes it very human, but I'm not hearing those stories anymore.
No, well, we're not hearing them enough. I mean, this is what I found interesting going back through history, looking at the government of FDR, for instance,
yes,
and other governments further past. FDR was great because even his minister for Labor, who was a woman, the first woman minister there or secretary of Labor, she speaks very clearly in her book about Roosevelt about how he spent time making sure there was dialogue and that there was consensus. Yes. So any meetings they would have would be a meeting of all the people who were concerned, whether it was union leaders, business leaders, or whatever, and they would sit down for a week or more, if necessary, to nut out what the problems and difficulties were.
Yes.
That is true dialogue, all right? And that is an important part of friendship. Friendship is about listening. It is about consensus.
Yes.
And to me, friendship goes back to our tribal roots, because deep down inside, these are the things that we want as tribal people. We want to feel these things. And we're not going to feel happy unless we have them, whether it's from our government, from our parents, from our partner, our schools, work, wherever it may be.
Yeah. What happens when these relationships are not being cultivated? In other words, I think everybody has friends that talk at them and just use you to unload upon verbally so that they can get it off their chest, and you happen to be the person. Even in monogamous relationships, that happens. You're the person who's in the house with the other one, so you're going to get dumped on. Is that something that you can turn around, or is that something where you stand up and say, this is not a relationship?
Well, look, I think a little bit of both, I think, is important. Mm-hmm. What this reminds me of, it takes me back to the tribal societies again. Uh-huh. When we had tribal societies and we were the old hunter-gatherers, what we used to do is have a group of people we could talk to, and often the men would hang out together, which was fine, and the women would hang out together, which was another great thing, which meant it was great for the women because the women could spend time complaining to each other about the men, which is fantastic.
That's
because
right.
They don't have to complain to us about it.
That's right.
Okay, so it takes the pressure off the relationships.
True.
So what we keep forgetting is it's not just about us in our relationship just talking to each other. It's about being part of a greater network that can support us. Okay, so being connected, what friendship has taught me as I've written the book and as I've seen all these patients, thousands of patients, and getting them out of depression,
yes.
is that this is about connecting on multiple levels. It's not just doing it with one person.
Right.
It's doing it with a lot of people, but
that's
also
right.
being the example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have to be the example. People will learn from us. It's not very respectful to try and make people meet our friendship needs. Okay, it's a bit dictatorial, I find. But what we can do is be the example. And I think if we can be the example and connect on multiple levels with multiple groups of people, I think a lot of those issues you're describing, we can actually reduce quite significantly, improve a lot of our relationships.
The book is very comprehensive in the sense that it doesn't just talk about it. There are examples. There are also steps in many different categories. And when you should raise a question about a relationship and when you should do something about it to improve it or otherwise. But these steps are very graphically laid out in the book as a guide so that you can actually, it doesn't just say these are the problems, it actually gives you steps on how to deal with them and resolve them. So it's very impressive in that sense as well. And I find it a little deeper than most books that handle this subject.
Yeah, thank you. And one of the aspects you may have noticed in there is I like to also break it down into gender a little bit.
Yes.
I know that's a bit controversial at times.
No.
But I find that, yeah, as men and women, we can meet these needs differently for each other, these friendship needs, and I go into details of why that's important. Because there's more than just friendship needs and desires at stake here. These are desires of attraction and things that actually keep us attractive to each other.
True.
So I'd like to talk about those as well. That's because they're very important as part of our developing close relationships.
Well, it's all in the book. It's Dr. Winfried Sedov and the Friendship Key to Have Lasting Peace, Stronger Relationships, United Communities, Equality, and a Better Job. And it's available everywhere. Is there a website that we can visit?
Yes, there is. If you just type in my name, winfriedsedov.com. Okay, there's a web page there, and there's some things we can download. I'm also working on a little table for people that gives a summary of those needs, so you can pin it up maybe at work or at home, let people know these are what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I think whether people admit it or not, they can use this information. So thank you, Doctor.
Yeah.
Thank you, Doctor, so much.
Absolutely.
Thanks for spending the time with us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Ron. It's been a pleasure.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it, another show down the tubes. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show, which could even be better than this one. I don't know how it couldn't be. So it's called self-deprecating humor. It's worked for me for many years, and it's gold, man. It's gold. Well, I hope that you are able to form your relationships and keep them strong and help people move whenever you have a chance and all that stuff. And you're better than I am, and that's why I do this show. I talk for half an hour, and when it's over, you say to yourself, well, I'm better than he is, and at least you think you are. At least you think you are, and that's what's important. Have yourself a wonderful day. Do love everybody else. At least say you do. That's sometimes good enough. I wish you peace.